This is the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. Welcome, everybody. I am your host, Sean. Damn it, Danny, why'd you need to come all the way out here for me to see you?
Well, I figured, like, if I wanted the true experience of living life and having cops just randomly knock on doors, I had to come to Toledo, Ohio.
So this is one of our special recordings where me and Danny actually get to hang out and record versus play the internet faithful draw and do it over Skype.
And hopefully that, like, the connection between here and there doesn't give out. There's no major thunderstorms out here. No, I don't know what would cause disturbance in Southern California other than just the universe doesn't want us to record our show.
Rain, lots of rain.
No. By lots of rain, you mean just a couple, like, it's like sprinkling slightly. Yeah.
Man down, man down.
Why is there wet in the sky? I need to murder somebody.
So it's been an interesting week so far. I think we got up to 8 different breweries, I think.
In about 3 days, basically.
Yeah, so we traveled around parts of Ohio and made our way up to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I know that's been a place that a lot of people have talked about, but more on that piece later. So, Danny, what about the Midwest beers? Do you feel pretty satisfied with what you've had to drink so far?
You know, I really appreciate and enjoy, like, especially the Toledo-ish area, not without having to drive far away. Like, there's some pretty good beer. There's up-and-coming small breweries that are definitely making their mark. It's definitely like Southern California was maybe 5-10 years ago, with some of the smaller breweries just kind of starting out. And just at this point now, it's just people who are making beer because they love beer. And it comes through in the flavors and the different things that they try.
Exactly. So on Saturday, we were able to go to Mommy Bay Brewery. And I know I've reviewed this place a few times. And what I had this past round was another kind of spicy citrus beer, which was, I can't remember because I think we've just literally had too many drinks and not enough notes at this point.
Yeah, at some point we had already gone to about our sixth, after leaving our sixth brew, we were like, did we write any of this down? And we're like, oh, no, why would we? We're not professionals. We're just a couple of jackasses that talk to a microphone.
We'll do it live.
We'll just make shit up and they'll assume that we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
I know. I end up having their ginger beer. Actually, it was a Moscow Mule, so it was basically like ginger with lemony type flavors, and it was pretty interesting. I don't know if I'd have it again necessarily, but I don't regret drinking it the first time. It definitely paired well with the blue cheeseburger that I had that day, which is actually quite amazing.
Yeah, the great thing about Mommy Bay is that they just have some fantastic food. I had the Calvers Pig Burger, and it has bacon, pulled pork, and it's amazing. Like, I know I looked at the pizzas that come out. They do the wood style kind of pizza.
The brick oven type, whatever.
Yeah, the brick oven. And it's, it does look good, I think. But every time, like, I go there, I imagine that burger again. And it's hard to, like, say no.
I mean, there's a reason why Michael Simon has a show on Food Network called Burgers and Brews. It's a classic combination that you generally can't go wrong with. But I forgot to ask you, after you've eaten that burger, who won that fight?
I did. I won that fight.
the beef and the pork lost, and Sean won, huh? That's the official verdict?
Exactly. I mean, it's a pretty ginormic burger, and it's tasty. But yeah, overall, I smashed it and left no cow or pig behind.
You basically, it was like one of those elimination things where the cow and the pig fought, and then the winner had to face you.
Yes.
And the toilet the next day.
Destroyed them.
All three of them.
But no, it's, and I do like the location because you're really kind of right by the Mommy Bay area. The last two times I've gone, people get married outside because it's connected to the Oliver House that's right there. Which is seems to be a historic building that people like to look at. And if you kind of look in the window, they have a nice area where you could have a reception and be way by yourself. And Mommy Bay does bring the food over, and they set up their taps and stuff there. So I mean, for a reception, I think for sure that's like probably one of the best places to go.
Right, but for the wedding, they actually just kind of throw you in the backyard. Yeah. With some little cheesy, like, awning with a couple, like, pieces of, like, lace on it or whatever and call it fancy. That awning probably cost them, like, $1,000 to set up. And it literally looked like just a couple of, like, shingles that somebody would, like, when they're growing tomato plants so that the vines could grow up. And then throw a couple, like, yards of lacy material that they pick up at a craft store for, like, I don't know, $5.
Exactly. I mean, it happens, but otherwise, again, I think Maumee Bay is just one of my favorite places, and now that it's so close to go to, now that I'm in my new place, I mean, it's definitely something easy to drive on over and have some great food and beer.
Right, it's definitely, as far as it was from your place, it's definitely worth the drive. And the best thing so far about this trip is, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, not that I would say where I'm from, but I would definitely, like, let, and they'd always ask, you know, the question, have you been here before? And I was like, oh, no, I'm like, that one's the first place we went to. I was like, no, I literally just got off the plane, like, what, an hour ago?
Yeah.
This is the first place he brought me. And she was, like, eager to please, to impress me with her restaurants, beer, and or food.
Yeah, definitely. The next place, Danny, and I know I've talked about this place quite a bit, Ernest Brew Works. What was your thoughts?
It's at the point now where I think it needs to upsize. It's definitely, like, the beer was really good. They had, like, quality merchandise, you know, which you don't necessarily see from a small brewery. And I know that doesn't necessarily matter when it comes to the quality of the beer, but there's money behind it. Like, if they're selling enough beer that they're going to be able to make, you know, multiple shirts, multiple cups, multiple growlers, different things, then maybe start using some of that money into, like, looking for a new location. Because where it was, it wasn't necessarily that it was too small per se, but it definitely, there wasn't very many people in there, and it was already crowded. And it was built in the dead center of, like, the best echo chamber in the world.
Yeah, I mean, literally, if you wanted to hide from the outside world, that's the place to go. I know I for sure have talked about it. Those concrete walls literally hold the sound in. And if you can imagine, Danny, it was that loud with those few people in, what it's like when you add another 30 people in there. It's just so overwhelming.
I can imagine. I get a little, like, agoraphobic / claustrophobic at times. And I can imagine that when there's not enough tables, there's people just kind of standing around wherever there's room. It's, at some point, I'm sure it's just asses and elbows in there.
Yes, I've seen a few of those.
And it's, you probably can't even think, let alone hold a conversation. So at that point, they either need to make a patio area, which I don't know if there's enough room in their land that they have, or just maybe invest a little bit more. Maybe go like the brewery in Riverside did, Thompson Family, where they kind of upsized. But just be smart about it and don't close, and then be gone for 2 years before you open again.
Yeah. I mean, rumor has it that they are purchasing some of the other shops that are attached to the building. And again, I don't want to say anything because I don't have anything. Again, it's just rumor. So I'm sure that those guys know that they got to figure out something. And I think it's just more of how they do it. I think it's probably how they're trying to figure that out is how do you do? You already have established a set location. You have set customers that are going there. How do you expand without creating too much chaos? You don't necessarily want to move locations and then people don't know where you are. And
right. And then you also definitely don't want to do, like, a lot of breweries, like especially Anchor recently did, where they've expanded so fast that they had no capital anymore. And then they basically went bankrupt and had to be purchased again. So, I mean, I guess the only way I could think of to do that would be to kind of already keep your primary location, but then open a secondary location. Slowly move all of the stuff there, mm-hmm. and then kind of, like, encourage the people at the old location, oh, check out our new location over here, and then keep that open for a couple months and just until it becomes more publicly known that you've moved, and then people can kind of stop going to the old location without being, like, a sudden change.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, Danny, this was your first time there. What about that tap list? 15 different beers, and literally I couldn't even tell you like there was six of them that were new, and I haven't been there in like 2 months, and I already knew six beers that I couldn't even tell you how they were because they were new.
Right, and you know, I mean, he's not exactly reinventing the wheel per se, but at this point now, there's not much you can necessarily do with beer that hasn't been done before by somebody else. It's like the episode of South Park where the whole point was every time Butters tried to do something, his minion was like, Simpsons already did it. Simpsons already did it. So, but, and it's not a matter of like trying to make something bigger and better necessarily, but just making it really, really good and making people want to come back and try more of that, or even just try more of your new experimental beers that they may not have had before because that they trust in you that whatever flavors you make aren't just, you're not just throwing shit in a beer and putting it on tap and letting the crowd be your beta testers. You've probably thought it out and done a little bit of research and maybe some science into the combination of flavors. But the beers that I had were really good. I can't remember what I had. I just know there are a couple stouts, a couple of dark, heavy, delicious beers that I would probably want to go back and have again.
Definitely. So the next day, we definitely got to go check out something new. And I know I've talked about it, and a lot of people really enjoy this place. But Father John's Brewery out in Bryan, Ohio.
Yeah, Bryan.
Damn you, Bryan.
I don't know, man. I don't know who Bryan is, but he's got himself a damn fine brewery in his city. And this was, oddly enough, not the only brewery we went to this weekend that was located inside of an old brick church with the old stained glass windows and everything. Like, this place was really nice. I mean, I liked the way that they kept, like, you went downstairs, and that's where, in the cellar, in the basically the cellar area, the basement, and that's where the brewery was, and they had, like, outdoor seating, and they had old wooden tables, and, like, they had a room in there where it was just, like, a cross hanging from chains. There was the table, like, a giant cross, and I guess underneath it, there's a plexiglass window so that you can look down, and I guess when they were remodeling the church for the brewery, they found an old coffin buried under the church, so they kept it there, but they just kind of, I guess where they stopped digging when they found it, they left that open so that people could come and look at it and make it a little touristy thing to look at when you're in the brewery.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of the rooms, a lot of the artwork, and a lot of the different things that are going on in the brewery are just really fun to take a look at. And man, Danny, how about that food?
Oh man, the food was so good. They had bison burgers there, which I've had before, but I probably should have ordered one, but everyone else was getting one and I wanted to be the odd duck out. So I ended up getting shrimp and semolina, cheesy semolina, which is actually really delicious. And at that point, I kind of figured we'd probably have a very heavy, burger-heavy week because of all our different brewery visits that we were doing.
Yeah, and we started off with some cheese curds, and oh my gosh, man, these things were so good. I literally wanted to take, like, the little, like, pile of appetizers and just bring it to myself and just say, we'll order another round for the three of you guys.
At that point, no. It's more a thing of we each want our own cheese curd order. And, you know, if anybody's like, no, I just want a couple, we're like, well, fuck it, figure it out. Because these are mine.
No, I agree. I mean, those cheese curds were just freaking awesome. And I definitely love the food down there. It's always something good.
Another thing I loved about the brewery itself was the names of some of the beers.
Yes.
I mean, they rely very heavily on the location and the theme of the beer. So they have, you know, my favorite is a caramel chocolate malty amber ale called Sacrificial Goat, which weighs in at exactly a 6.66 ABV. But then they, you know, they had, you know, their pumpkin, you know, it's the pumpkin beer season. So their pumpkin beer was appropriately named as well, Sacrificial Gourd. I guess yeah. The play on the punny name. They had a Smite the Amalekites, which if you're a fan of the Bible, that's a very biblically themed another one beer. So, and all the tables had old school hymnal books on them.
Yes.
So you definitely got the feel of being in the underneath the church as you were drinking your beer. And then you go upstairs, and they actually, you know, have the church open so that you can kind of go in and look around. They had all the stained glass, the pews. Like it, I don't know if they use it for anything other than events and or weddings or whatever. Like if they actually hold weekly services, but it definitely looks like it's been, it's still in use.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen them get ready to use it, and I know there's been wedding celebrations up top, and they have the party downstairs, so, I mean, that would be the, like I said, the number one place, like, I wouldn't mind getting married at, right on top of the brewery, get married in the old, old chapel, and then go downstairs and start slamming some beers.
Yeah, if I got a call from Sean, he's like, yeah, I'm getting married, I'm like, that's cool, man. It's in Ohio. I don't know about that. And he's like, I'm getting married at Father John's. And I'm like, all right, man, I got to book my ticket right now. I'm on my way. Just make sure you give me, save me some cheese curds and I'm cool.
It all comes back to the cheese curds. Are you going to give us cheese curds or no cheese curds?
Right. That's going to be like the, you know, I don't even care about the price of the ticket anymore at that point. It's like, so cheese curds are on the menu, right? And you're like, I don't know, man. And it's like, I think I'm busy.
I might be busy that weekend.
I'm not might be, but I'm definitely busy.
I didn't tell you the weekend.
Yeah, I'm busy a lot of weekends. You know how it is, man. Life.
Exactly.
But the another thing I really loved about the place was, like, you walk in and it smelled like old. Like, you could smell the pew and the Bibles, like an old church. Like, when you walk in, and, like, not in a bad way. Just you can. It's just books and. The older books have that smell that only old books have.
Yeah.
And it just, it really, like, everything just, it was almost too perfect. Like, like Disneyland should come out there and, like, figure out what they did for their rides. Because they just probably went to an old bookstore and found a bunch of old Bibles and put them in places. And they, nothing that's, like, actual, like, fake props. It's all real. It's not fake news. It's real news.
No.
And they had a bunch of old, like, I'm sure stuff that they found around the church as they were excavating it, like different crucifixes and different church-type memorabilia and propaganda and display cases from, you know, throughout the years, which was probably stuff buried in the basement when they had to clean it out to make room to brew beer and whatever other things they do down there.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because they don't really seem to have, like, the equipment. You could literally walk to the equipment from the outside or from one of the inside tunnels, and they're not that fancy. Like, they don't have, like, all these giant storage containers and stuff like that. They seem to turn over their stuff quite a bit, and it seems like they do smaller batches so that way they can bring new beers on a little bit quicker, especially for a small brewery like that. Because that was probably one of the more quiet times when we went, so I imagine during the weekend, during their big rushes and stuff, I'm sure they sell through quite a bit. But, I mean, again, it's in Byron.
Bryan.
I keep messing it up now because I know people. Bryan, Ohio is really small. And, I mean, it was like an hour and 15-minute drive to the middle of nowhere from the north end of Toledo.
Right. And we also kind of went at a time where people, I guess, that would be going to church. We're at church, which all good Bryan people do.
Well, we got there like at noon. Like, church is out.
Church is just barely getting out. You gotta say your goodbyes and whatever other, like, church. You gotta do your church gossip.
They must not know about these cheese curds then.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they've prayed about them a lot. They've been tempted by the evil Satan of these cheese curds. And in case you guys don't understand, man, these cheese curds are amazing.
Yes. Father John's cheese curds. Go get them right now.
But the other thing, another thing, before we change subjects, how many times have you been there before?
This is probably my third or fourth time.
The chef's little, they gave us a little piece of paper that had like four or five different things on there, and they were basically the chef's experiments.
Yep.
Had they done that before when you were there? Or was this?
No, this is the first time I've seen them put out a second menu, and it being like the experiment, like, courses on what they want to try and what they want to bring over. So it was definitely interesting to see that kind of system built out.
Right. So I don't know if it's because we went on a Sunday or if it's just a thing of they want to either change things, take things off their menu that maybe aren't, that are underperforming, or just add new things to the menu that people have suggested over the years. But there's about four or five things on the menu.
I think it was four.
And basically, if you ordered it, you didn't have to. It wasn't like they forced you or anything, but they would definitely appreciate you basically giving your opinion of what you thought about what you ordered and what mm-hmm. if you would order it again, I guess. Or, you know, they had like, you know, a chart of like emote faces from sad face to smiley face. So you had to circle the face that you felt appropriate to the food that you enjoyed. And there was a little comment line. So, there was four of us there that day, and three out of the four people ordered off of that menu. You know, I guess I didn't want to be pressured into giving a review on the spot. So that's why I ordered something else too.
Yet you're giving them a review right now.
Yeah, but they're not looking at me. It's different.
I'm going to tag them in this post so that way they know.
You should, because they deserve it. Maybe we'll get some free cheese curds out of it at some point in the future. Yeah. Freeze, like cook up some cheese curds and freeze them and dry freeze them.
Yeah.
Put them in some dry ice and mail them to me all the way out of California. I'll give them a shot.
Fair enough. So the next day, we decided to go out on our longest journey of the week, and we went out to Grand Rapids, Michigan. So about a good 3-hour drive out of Toledo, out northwest that way.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's like Gilligan's Island, except in a car instead of a boat, and unfortunately for some people we know, we made it home. we didn't answer some people's prayers and hopes by not making it home.
Exactly. So we went to a brewery out there, Founders, which I knew was kind of big and kind of a big deal. But when you get out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, it's a fucking big deal.
Right. I mean, I knew, like, I've had their beer in California, and I knew it was kind of one of the more decent sized breweries out here, but it's probably one of the, like, biggest connected building of a brewery I've ever been in. We didn't get to do a tour. It looks like they only do tours like a couple days of the week, not on the day we were there, of course. You know, we planned everything so far ahead that we just as we were sitting there eating our food at Founders, we were trying to find a place to stay that night.
Yeah, exactly. That's my new thing, is I just like to go do things, and then I'll fucking figure out the hotel situation later. Doesn't matter.
Right. And for me, you know, I'm cool as long as we get everything settled, but until then, it's like, there's a whole bunch of what-ifs that flood into my head, and none of those what-ifs are good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess worst case scenario,
we're going to be homeless in Grand Rapids.
It's Michigan, dude. I didn't want to be sleeping in the car. Like, that parking lot might already be full. But Grand Rapids is actually a really nice community. Like, it's kind of spaced out, not super city-like, but it's definitely got a lot of little hipstery areas. I've never seen the personification of gentrification in my life until I went to Grand Rapids. You can definitely tell where the white hipsters are pushing out the quote-unquote undesirables and making their own little, like, bookstores and breweries and concert halls and whatever else they want, parking spots that they want to make.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the town. It was more spread out. It doesn't feel like you're in a giant city, but it also doesn't feel like you're in, like, the world, like, in a fucking farm bill, like, out here in Ohio sometimes, when you get outside of the city in Toledo. It has a very good mix, and the culture was just, everybody seemed really down to earth and was very chill. I think there's definitely, like you said, there's definitely that line where you could see a lot of the money starting to really take over the whole city instead of just part of the city. But I mean, it was just a very relaxing time to be out there and to hang out from when we got there to when we left.
Right. And, you know, you're talking about your desire to pick a hotel as we went along, but I think listening to me was a good idea, because we got a hotel, we went and checked in, and then we ended up sleeping for, what, like 45 minutes?
Something happens after you start pounding some 10% beers.
Right. They had a couple beers at Founders that I've had before, so I didn't necessarily want to try one of them. I mean, it was definitely one that I would try if I didn't see anything else, but the first one I tried was they had a fruity wheat ale that just sounded kind of good to have with beer, nothing too heavy. You know, we just had a long-ass car ride. I didn't want to, like, be weighed down. But then I ordered The second beer that looked pretty good that I wanted to try was like the Lizard King of something or other. But it was like a barrel-aged blueberry stout.
Oh my god, that stout was so good. Danny had one and I literally like tried it and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And like I put it down and I'm like,
and you,
like a minute later I'm like, I grab it again and Danny's look on his face is like, the fuck, man? And I'm just like, yep, I'm definitely gonna have to just order one of these.
Yeah, at that point, like, it's like, you know, friends get one taste, wives and girlfriends get two tastes, but beyond that, order your fucking own, man.
Tell your wife I took over, man.
I moved into the zone. Moved into the wifey zone?
Yeah.
You mean, what happens in Vegas?
What happens in Grand Rapids stays in Grand Rapids.
But yeah, you know, we had a lovely view from our hotel from where the, you know, truck drivers got their hand jobs and blowjobs behind the Walmart. I called that too. I said, as we saw the Walmart next to it, and I said, I bet our room is going to have a view of the blowjob quiet corner in the back area. And sure enough, it did. We didn't see any, what's it called?
I don't think we were sober enough to,
well, by the time the lot rats would have came out that night, exactly. We weren't sober enough, but, definitely, saw the potential for some, hooking going on back there.
So back to our main topic, Founders. It was just a great brewery. Like, it opened at 11 a.m. and I'm like, how is there a brewery opening at 11 a.m. on a Monday? Like, I was actually a little worried that there'd be a lot of closed breweries because a lot of them tend to take that Monday off.
Yeah, most of them take Monday off. And quite a few of them even take Tuesday off just to, you know, either like replenish supplies. Like almost like one day they kind of just sleep and then the next day they go back and, you know, start brewing again so that they have beers for the future because they've emptied out containers and stuff.
Exactly. But no, and we walk up to this place and there's a bunch of people eating lunch. I mean, it was pretty full for a Monday. Like, this is like one of the go-to places, like, just to go get food. And we're walking around and just all these sandwiches just look so good. And so we walk through and the funny thing is like the outdoor patio faces the street and
the bus station across the street from the brewery.
Yeah. And they have all these chairs set up. It's like a really nice, like, kind of fountain concrete outdoor area. It seems like during the fall and winter that they turn on the heaters out there to make it to where they could still have those people sit out there. And then you have this inside part. You have a couple different bars located around the brewery, and then you have a one kitchen area. You could go sit down and get food, or you could order food to go. Like, it was a very, like, just relaxed atmosphere that you could just kind of go in, and even though, like, it's so big, you kind of walk in and you're just kind of in awe. You're like, all right, everything kind of seems to have an order to things, and you just kind of pick whatever table you want, and then boom, like, somebody comes up and gives you service.
Right, there was definitely a decent mix of the people that were there, people that were, like, working but on their lunch hour, and families that either were on vacation or had the day off work or something like that, just wanted lunch. And they also, I think, are prepared for the tourists to show up because they had signs telling, pretty clear signs of telling you how the place worked without having to talk to anybody. Like, they had signs up, it's like, you can either go up and order food and sit down, or you can just go sit down and someone will come and take your order. They had a really decent sized gift shop, which had way more shirts than I've ever seen at any other brewery. And I'm not talking about just the shirt, like, you know, they didn't have like thousands of shirts, but they had probably, what, 50 different designs, shirt designs.
Yeah, you had your jacket, and then you had jackets, and they had a cooler full of beers. It was just a giant shop. Like, if you literally wanted to walk in there, grab a t-shirt and grab a 12 pack, you could without even walking really into the heart of the brewery.
Right, and it looked like there was a couple people who were there, like, looking around the gift shop. It looked like there was a couple people there just getting their beers for the day, for that night or the weekend or whatever, just going in, buying some beers, and leaving, because they knew it was fresher, I guess, than the other stuff that you buy at the stores.
Yeah, definitely. And the food was just awesome.
Yeah, I ended up getting their Philly cheesesteak, which is one of those that's, like, challenge accepted. It was pretty good, and, you know, I told Sean as we were eating it, the child in me never thought I would say this in my entire life, but The only complaint I had about it was that it needed more vegetables. Like, it had some red peppers on it, but, you need more peppers. It needed onions. It needed mushrooms. Like, it was just basically really delicious steak and delicious cheese, but a little bit of red peppers. But it was definitely – and they had, like, a horseradish type sauce on it. I mean, it was delicious, but it needed more vegetables for it to be a true Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even remember what I got, but it was just amazing. They had like
three. It was called the glutton. It was like pulled pork called the glutton.
That's right. It was a pulled pork sandwich, and it had a few other things.
Bacon. I know for sure it was bacon because you
stole my bacon and eggs.
Yeah, it had eggs on it too.
I think so.
That was a long time ago.
It was. It was really. It seemed like a long time ago. And after the amount of beer and alcohol that has been consumed this week, it is definitely a lifetime ago.
Yes, and so, we ended up getting a shirt because it's their 20th anniversary, and so I picked up a shirt, and I paid for a couple stickers. I didn't get all the stickers I paid for, but I paid for them, so that's cool. But I think it might be kind of my fault, too, because I ended up talking to the lady that was helping me and just kind of telling her that I'm from out of town, and she recommended another brewery that we ended up going to after we left the hotel later. But yeah, I mean, everyone there was cool. The food was amazing. Like, there was, at one point though, we had like 10 people like constantly asking us for help, and then we actually needed help. Okay. They were all gone. Like, there was a disturbance in their force, and they knew to go on break or lunch or something.
Exactly. That could have been the one complaint, but overall, I mean, I definitely want to go back up there sometime soon.
It's, for the drive, the fact that, there was a couple other breweries you didn't hit up. There was a few other cool things that kind of just looked interesting as far as, like, shops or interest points, museums, whatever. It looked like you could definitely go there and just spend the weekend and just kind of hang out and look around with somebody.
Definitely. On the return home,
Brewery Vivant.
Oh, I didn't want to talk about that because I didn't really care for it. But you can enlighten us about your experience at the other brewery.
So, as I was saying, at Founders, the lady that, didn't give me my stickers was telling me about a brewery in town.
She took those stickers for this piece of advice.
Exactly. Or just the $4 that I paid for the stickers. But she said that, we had told her about the different breweries we went to, and we told her about Father John's and how that was a really awesome place. So if anybody from Father John is hearing this, just know that we're spreading the gospel of your we're a disciple of, we're one of your apostles, I guess would be the more biblically correct term. But she was talking about another brewery, Brewery Vivant, which is basically based in a similar building, like an old church.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite as cool because, like, it was more like, it wasn't in as much of the church that we could go into. It was just basically almost the entry area. You could see the stained glass, but they had it behind a huge shelf. But it still looked pretty cool, the brickwork and all that. And, I mean, if that's something that, is going to start happening in this, the Midwestern region with all these old churches and towns that are dying out, because, like, the town where my wife's family lives, there's, like, 7 churches, but there's only, like, 1,500 people in the town, and the churches are all really cool buildings. If they can find a way to repurpose them, I guess, if people aren't going there anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
Without tearing them down or just leaving them to get decrepit and abandoned.
Yeah, the place definitely looks really cool. I really like the main bar, like the wook.
the look of the wood.
The old oak.
Yes.
Just kind of pulled through, and it just sealed very nice. I love the shape. It's very unique to the place, and it kind of makes like that weird V shape. But you're just in there, and it's very dim. And it's kind of very relaxing. They got a bunch of different taps kind of going on. I think a little bit of music playing. Everybody's kind of just eating and hanging out. And it's also another place that just has some really good vibes.
Right. And it seemed like everybody there was either like a regular or just somebody that was just really cool people. Like, everyone was just kind of talking to each other. Like, it wasn't so much like interrupting the conversations or eavesdropping, but like, at one point, the beer tender that was working with us, she was talking to somebody, and then she kind of went over to see if somebody else needed some drinks, and they were kind of talking, and then, like, whatever they were talking about correlated, so then they, threw the conversation across the bar, and it was kind of laid back. We almost didn't go there. Like, the only thing that got us to go there was the fact that she said that it was, like, in the old building, but then the thing that almost made us not want to go there was that she said that they specialized in sours and saisons, which that's like telling.
I thought it was Belgian.
Belgians, yes, yeah. The Belgians, which basically saisons and sours.
Gross.
Yes, pretty much gross, but it very much reminded me of a brewery out by me in Placentia called The Brewery, oddly enough, where they specialize in, like, their main beers were a lot of, like, the Belgian beers, but then they kind of branched out and make some really good dark ales and stouts with just some really strong and delicious flavors. They even have a sour stout there at the brewery, and they had one listed on the website for Brewery Vivant, but it wasn't served that day. But the beer that we did have was pretty good. She gave us a couple little tasters of things and recommended some things, but I ended up getting one of their stouts, their barrel aged stout, which was pretty good. And what did you end up getting from there?
I got a IPA. I don't remember. It was like a fresh IPA.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too bad. I did enjoy that one beer. That one was pretty good.
Right. I mean, it's definitely, it wasn't a bad brewery. It wasn't completely for us.
The brew style is just, I think, more different than what our preference is really what it comes down to. There's nothing wrong with the brewery, but again, it's just the way that they brew their beer and the way those tastes are for a certain audience, and that audience was definitely not for me for the most part, but I think they got definitely a little bit better vibe off you.
Right. And the other thing is, I'm hoping they learn soon, because the brewery in Placentia figured this out after being open for a few years, was that when you're brewing certain beers together, you can't brew certain beers together because it messes with the one beer affects the other beer. So like the Belgians and the sours with the wild yeast can't be brewed in the same area as IPAs. For whatever reason, it throws off. For years, the brewery was trying to figure out why their IPAs came out a little odd. And so they ended up having to open up a second location for them to brew their non-Belgian wheat and sour beers.
Which makes sense. You think you could just maybe use this, buy different equipment, but keep it in different parts of the room, maybe, instead of just sharing equipment? Because that would make sense.
Right. And I think, like, they definitely, like, I mean, they might not be in separate locations, but they bought, because where the brewery is, it's like a strip mall, and they own one part and a couple other units, but then, like, the last time I was there, they owned every single unit in the whole strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some of those is where, like, they brewed their sours and some of their IPAs, like, but they kept them segregated and kept the equipment segregated so that there was no chance of cross-contamination.
That would make sense, because definitely with Belgians and using that Belgian yeast, I mean, it's going to reflect different flavors than what you want, especially when you start talking about IPAs and such that don't use that.
Right, and, you know, because you definitely want more of a hoppy, clean, you know, as the kids say, dank taste for your IPA. And by dank, they mean you want it to taste like, you know, you soaked Christmas trees in it.
Here we go. Danny back on his Christmas tree soapbox.
It's a soapbox worth preaching. Once everyone's converted to my ways, then we'll only have delicious, delicious beers out there. Not shitty Christmas tree beers.
You need to leave the house. Nobody wants you here.
I'm not wrong, and you know it. I might not be right, but I'm not wrong.
Something like that. So the next day, we went out, and we went to another brewery, and out in the middle of nowhere, this was in Marshall?
Yes, Marshall, Michigan.
Marshall, Michigan. Another small town. Another, like, really... You walk in, and it's pretty kind of... over relaxed, I would almost say, and kind of in your face, and there's a bunch of clay pots hanging everywhere, and like people are like literally best friends with waiters and stuff, and it's a very like town brewery. Like, now that like we experienced it and we stepped back, like, this is what I would expect. If I made a brewery in a small town, that's exactly how I would want it, with the atmosphere of people just knowing each other so well. Like, the waitress was, like, the bartenders were literally pouring the beer, like, as soon as they walked in without even asking them what they wanted, because they knew them. I guess maybe they have a drinking problem, too. I don't know which one it is, but the waitress, anyways, knows them well enough to where, like, poured the beer of choice and gave it to them right away, and it was really cool to see.
Right, one of the things that I really liked about this brewery was the fact that they had... they weren't clay pots, they were like mugs hanging from the ceiling, and the whole ceiling was just covered in mugs, and basically they had a mug club. And so like, you bought a mug, and basically you got discounts on you get refills for a discount, cheaper than you would for a normal pint. And so then people would show up, people would walk in, and they would just reach up and grab their mug down, and then go up to the bar, give it to the person behind the counter, and they would just pour it. And occasionally they would ask, it's like, well, do you want this one or this one? But it wasn't like, it was never the question, open-ended question of what do you want. It was either, I'm going to pour you a beer, or which of the two beers that you normally drink do you want? It definitely, talking to the people that work there, they said that they had the largest mug club in the country, which I don't doubt it. Like, literally the whole ceiling and, and down the walls was covered in mugs.
No, seriously. Like, it's ridiculous how many mugs are in that place.
And they had, 10 beers on tap? 12 beers on tap. Another 12 beers they had on tap. I tried 7 of them. I did a flight, and then I asked for a couple tasters of their beers that, like, looked interesting, but I didn't want even a full taster of the full 4 ounces, so they just gave a little 2-ounce, 1-ounce sample, like, their fall seasonal beer, which was actually really good for a fall seasonal beer. It wasn't too spicy, but it definitely gave you that sense of warmth that you want from a fall beer. And they had, the other one was another, like, a fruity type beer that, it was a Scotty Karate. And I just tried that one just because the name sounded cool, but surprisingly, the beer that I liked the best there was called Rockstar Jesus. I guess it seemed appropriate considering we've already gone to 2 different church beers. So it's a Scary Rockstar Jesus is what it was, and it was a pale ale brewed with apricots, chamomile, and holy water. Like, it definitely tasted like you were drinking like a fruity chamomile tea, which surprisingly, if somebody told me that was what the beer was before I drank it, I probably would have been like, nah, it's cool, I don't need to try it. But it's definitely something I told my wife that she would probably like it, that one, and then it was a strawberry saison, which, again, as we just got through, droning on about endlessly that we hate Belgian and saisons, but for me at least, the strawberry kind of canceled out the bitterness that I don't like from the saison, and the saison kind of canceled out some of the oversweetness of the strawberry, so it was almost like a perfect balance of 2 ingredients that, it's like the peanut butter and chocolate, if you didn't like peanut butter or chocolate, and put them together in a cup to make them taste good. But the Scotty Karate is a Scotch ale, so it had like some malty, caramelly type taste to it, which I don't think I could have done much more than the 2 ounce, but it was definitely worth the taste. It was worth the price of admission, getting it for free.
Nice. Fair enough. I had the Smells Like a Safety Meeting IPA, which was a kind of a very bold, in-your-face IPA. I mean, it was definitely something I expect from my IPAs, and I was very happy with it. I think it went down really well. I did not try as many beers as I was hoping. There was another IPA that I wanted to try that was basically used with fresh hops, but somebody was a bitch and had a hangover and decided not to drink more after it smells like a safety meeting.
Somebody literally got their ass kicked by Sailor Jerry.
Sailor Jerry came to Grand Rapids, Michigan and fucked me up.
Kicked your ass and punched you in the stomach so hard that you couldn't drink another beer the next day.
I got through one beer.
Barely.
Barely.
Like, I think, normally you make fun of me for drinking beer slowly and then until I have enough of your nagging and then I just finish it, no matter how much is left in the glass.
Yeah.
But I finished all of the beers, including the full pour that I had after trying the tasters and the free samples. And the full pour, I think I finished about the same time that, or before you finished your one beer.
Yeah, pretty much. So they do have food, but we ate already, and so we didn't eat there. And then they actually have a really nice patio area that me and Danny walked afterwards.
Their beer garden?
The beer garden. So you imagine you kind of just walk out, and it's just kind of like a nice garden area. And again, they use like a lot of wood tables and stuff like that. You have that around. You have an outdoor beer. And this is another one of those places, like, you sit wherever you want, and then they'll just come to you. Like, they don't necessarily try to be all formal with getting you to sit down where they want. And then when you get to, like, the back of the beer garden, there's, like, another big opening, and then you could go back there. But that area, there's no service. Like, they have signs that say you could go sit back there, but they're not going to come serve you because you're too far, basically.
Right, you have to go order your own beers or get your own food or whatever. But that area that was kind of open, they had, like, it was, like, under, like, almost like a barn. It looked like they opened up a barn, took out the door, so it was that exterior walls, the two sides and the back walls, but there was no walls in the front, and they had a bunch of tables there. And then past that, it looked like there was a smaller building that they kind of did the same thing to, where they took out the front wall, and so it was the three of the four walls, and they had a stage there, so it looked like they occasionally have live music performances.
Yeah, they had two stages, one where when we first kind of walked out to the left, and then one in the very back, and then they do have some opened up room to do like cornhole and just different things. So another pretty fun brewery that I wouldn't mind stopping next to whenever I go back out towards that northwest Michigan side.
Yeah, if you're in Grand Rapids, you know, it wasn't super far out of the way to make it not worth the trip to head down there. And the other thing that was cool was that they kind of looked like they owned the whole little area where they were. There was like a coffee shop, there was like a motorcycle repair shop, there was also like a woodworking shop, there was also a skateboard shop, there was also their merchandise store for
the store.
Well, actually, no, that was a separate area, but they had like that area back there was like a motorcycle repair shop slash skateboard shop slash, you know, woodworking shop. So you could buy like different things made out of the used barrels that they aged their beers in.
Yeah, and I mean, they're some really good stuff. And I mean, I was telling you, Danny, in one of the walls on the living room, I want to do it like as a beer theme and put all my pint glasses from around America that I have. And they have a really cool keg table that's like half a keg, like cut in half vertically. And they have that. And then they have some really cool, what do they call it? Like Edison lights.
Yeah, like the Edison lights that were, they had like, they were made out of like a slat. They were attached to a slat of the keg. And then they had like the tap coming out. And then from the part of the tap was attached the wire with the lamp hanging from that.
Yeah, so just some really cool looking stuff, and I think that's definitely the look where I want to go to, and so they have all sorts of, they have poker tables, they have all sorts of just interesting stuff that they've made in there that's really cool. Those were just the two items that really stuck out to me.
And even for like, you know, I guess the smart thing to me, the smartest thing they sold was just bags of the oak barrels for doing barbecue smoking. Because, you know, it was like just basically stuff that was going to get thrown away anyways, probably. Throw a handful of those in a bag and sell it for $10.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, it went from being trash to being nothing but profit at that point because they weren't going to do anything else with it.
Yeah, true. That would be pretty interesting to cook with.
And then they had, you know, their gift shop where they had their shirts, and then they had their beers that you could buy. And then they also had like a homebrew, not just for beer, but also how to make wine there too. So they had supplies to make beer and wine. And then attached to that, I was trying to get Sean to go too, but he's no fun this trip. They had a tattoo parlor. For some reason, I don't understand why, Sean doesn't want to get matching tattoos.
Nobody needs matching tattoos in this world.
Everybody does. If we're doing a podcast with somebody, you need a matching tattoo of the podcast logo. Because that just screams to me that you don't have faith in me or the podcast that we're doing.
Danny, I think I was drunk when I said I'd do this podcast with you.
I'm pretty sure it was all your idea, buddy, and then I just kind of got suckered into it because I felt bad because you had no friends in Ohio.
Fair enough. Something like that.
But yeah, so he even told me, he's like, I don't even know if the podcast is going to last that much longer, and I'm like, are you already getting to, is that your hint that you're going to break up with me? are we going to fly out of state and then you're going to fly home and break up with me? Is Michigan our California?
Oh, you're a bastard.
I am, aren't I?
You seriously are sometimes.
But, you know, like you said, that's definitely worth a trip if you're in Grand Rapids for us out here. Because I wouldn't necessarily drive the 3.5 hours or whatever it was to that brewery. But if you're only 30 minutes away, why not take that little extra 30-minute drive?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like if you're passing by that area to stop. I mean, it is kind of a pain in the ass because you do have to literally drive through Ann Arbor, though. And I mean, that's where I think we got most of the traffic was on our drive when we were taking the 96, but 94, sorry. But otherwise, it was pretty simple.
But yeah, so the main reason we had already kind of planned on going to Grand Rapids to check out Founders and other breweries. But one of the things that I guess dictated the night that we went to Grand Rapids is that, as coincidence has it, one of my wife's cousins, who's in like 8 different bands at some point in his life, maybe even more that I'm unaware of, was playing at a show at a bar in Grand Rapids called The Pyramid Scheme, which, man, I really wish they had a bar like that around me, and I'm really glad that they don't have a bar like this around me.
It's one of those blessings and a curse.
They had, 20, 30 pinball machines set up in there?
Yes, they did.
50 cents a play. They were all, some pretty cool old school ones, some relatively newish ones. They had, that old Indiana Jones one. They had a Metallica one that had Robert Trujillo in the picture, so that's, not Jason Newsted, it's definitely not Cliff Burton. There's no upside down buses on it, so it's not that old. They had a Game of Thrones one, just a bunch of different pop culture themed pinball machines. They had a bunch of different movie prints and posters up that you could buy. The staff there was pretty cool. Decent selection of beers, decent selection of alcohol. That's the reason why we discovered Dark Horse Brewery. Actually, they had that Smells Like a Safety meeting on tap, and you're hoping to get some memorabilia from that to wear to work when you actually had your safety meetings at work, which unfortunately they didn't.
No, the memorabilia didn't click with me. Something about camo just doesn't speak to me.
You'd be like John Cena walking into that safety meeting, man.
He would have never saw me coming.
No one would see you, man. I ended up discovering a new whiskey, which I don't think I need a new whiskey in my life. I already have enough whiskey as it is. But there's a city in Michigan that we weren't allowed to go to. Traverse City, where they have different...
Traverse. Goddamn, dude. You can't say it right all week.
I'm saying it the way I want to say it. Not my mom. I haven't been there.
Not my supervisor.
Not my supervisor.
Oh, my God.
Traverse?
Oh, my God.
Travis City?
I'm not helping you. Make your point that
my point is
you don't want to say it right.
When I say the name of the city and you know where I'm talking about, I'm saying it correctly enough.
Maybe other people that listen to the show have never been up there, so now they're not going to be able to find it.
It's spelled.
Or they're just going to misspell it in the Google constantly.
It's spelled TRABALRS. Travers City? It's something like that. But anyways, point being, they also have a distillery up there. And I guess they make a very delicious cherry whiskey that when you mix with Coke, it just tastes like you're drinking a cherry Coke until you try to walk and realize that you can't feel your legs anymore.
It removes your body functions and your memory.
It removes, not so much the body function, it just severs the connect from your brain to the parts of the body that need to move. It slows down the pipeline of information.
It's that beautiful thing where you have enough to drink to where it seems like time has slowed down and you're just like, I'm in the Matrix.
I know.
Nothing could stop me now.
I wish somebody was like, armed and can shoot at me and I can dodge those bullets like Neo did. That would be cool. But I wasn't even driving and I kind of was like almost at my limit, and then this is why I don't open a tab at bars. Because Sean decided to go close his tab out, and as he was there, he's like, I might as well order another one, which was,
I think we had like,
that was four. That was number four.
Yeah.
Which at your, even by your words, that was one too many. So if you pay cash as you go, you'll get that peer pressure from yourself. Your drunk self doesn't peer pressure you into buying another drink, and you make horrible decisions. So then you go back to the room and you just collapse on the bed after eating like the only thing open at night, which was Burger King.
Oh my God. Slam a Burger King cheeseburger and a couple onion rings, a couple drinks of Dr. Pepper, and then you just hit the bed and you only remember what happened until it's 5:30 in the morning and you can't sleep anymore.
Right. And you play some weeb iPhone game for a little bit until you get tired again and you fall back to sleep.
I'm a little triggered and offended by that statement because I don't have an iPhone.
I apologize.
Yeah.
It's a wig. It's a weeb Samsung game.
HTC phone, but whatever.
Look at you, hipster, not owning anything that anybody else does. I'm so cool that nobody else owns the same phone.
I've had three versions of the HTC Evo. I think I will probably pick up, and in the 2 years, I will pick up the next HTC, whatever Evo they want to call it, just because of how much I love that phone.
Do you have a phone number that you call in directly, or is there an email link where it's like, hey, I'm going to pick up a phone in like about 6 months. Can you guys just go ahead and issue a
build
new,
it?
Can you really build it so that Sean can come pick it up?
Yeah, the CEO, HTC, I have his number. I just shoot him a text and send him a few beers every once in a while, and we're cool.
Yeah, he's like, oh shit, Sean's gonna buy a new phone. We better get on it. We don't want to lose our one customer, our one loyal customer to Apple.
Fuck Apple, man. I don't even want to hear it. They're shitty.
I'm not saying they're great. I'm just saying they're not HTC. So, you know, we get inside finally. The show, we got there a little bit early because I wanted to check out the pinball machines and just figure out where to park and all that stuff. Show, doors opened, hang out for the show. Those, what, three bands, Ampersand Castles, opening band, my wife's cousin's band, Out, and, what, Flip? I can't remember the name of the first band.
There was other bands?
Yes. That was when the...
I don't even remember what happened most of that night. I don't know why you're asking me for reference. I just remember there was loud music going on, and I'm just like, yeah. Like, you know, doing the thing in the back where you just kind of have your foot tapping and your head kind of bouncing a little bit. Just like, yeah, man, this is pretty cool. I guess I could see a show again.
Right. And, like, the cool thing about it was, like, I don't know if she knew somebody from the show or if she just, like, showed up, but there was somebody, like, Pyle was the name of the band, not Flip, Pyle. I knew it was, like, a word that went without.
Oh, the main?
The main band, Pyle.
Honestly, it felt like they played two songs.
That was because you're in the back working, like the corporate drone that you are.
I was in the back, lost in my own mind.
You're getting triggered by emails at work when you were on vacation.
Fair enough.
Home Depot
makes more sense.
Home Depot owns you, man. That's how you. That's why you didn't listen to any of the third band, is because you were being triggered. Like the Home Depot.
I thought the night was over, man. We saw the band we wanted to, and it was game over.
But as I was saying before, Sean so rudely interrupted about his triggeredness. Like partway through the opening band, like a group of girls showed up, and one of them looked like she was a professional ballet dancer, or at least was taking ballet lessons. Cause
that's fair,
you know. And I thought she was like 15 or 16, and I thought they all were, but then there was a beer floating amongst them, so I don't know if like there was one 21-year-old and they were drinking, giving her friends all the beer to share, or if like one of them just looked old enough or knew somebody there and then like they had to sneak it because they weren't 21.
I don't know. I feel like that place is like 21 and over. I feel like they were all over.
I know, but I'm like,
I feel like it's a responsible beer establishment, bar establishment.
It probably is, but once you hit a certain point, like 15 looks the same as 21, man. It's like, I'm just too old for it, is my point.
Fair enough. I gotcha. You're senile. Time to put them down, everybody.
Not quite that.
We'll find a new co-host. Find and a new, we put Danny down.
Find a new, more mentally alert co-host. that can say city names correctly, apparently.
Maybe. That would be the first audition part.
What is this word? Travers? Yeah. Travers?
Exactly. Yeah, and then the second would be, what beer do you drink?
Not anything but IPAs. Well, you passed the first part, but you failed the second part. I'll put you on the maybe list.
I like Bud Light. That's my favorite beer.
I like
get both. The fuck out.
I like both kinds, Bud and Bud Light.
Terrible.
But yeah, no, I mean, this was actually a really cool place. Like I said, I'm just really both happy and sad that it's not close enough for me to go to more often, but I would definitely go back. They looked like they had some pretty decent shows coming up. They had Method Man coming up. They had some pretty well-known shows, Brother Ali, another fairly well-known rapper that Sean doesn't know about because he's not one of the cool kids.
Fuck if I know.
Exactly, old man.
You kids and your damn music.
But the venue was really cool. They had a bar, unbeknownst to us until we got back there, they had a little bar in the play area. They had a little area set off to the side where bands can sell their propaganda.
Yeah, no, I definitely liked it. I mean, if I was going to go to a small bar, that would be it. I mean, it was much better than the bar that we went to last time, Concert Hall, that had a pole, like, in the middle of the fucking floor.
Oh, yeah.
It was nice to lean against, but...
the bar that killed the more talented Phoenix brother. Now all we have left is Joaquin.
Yes.
The Viper Room. The killer of talented brothers.
The Viper Room. Well, none of us died, so I don't know what it has to say.
But yeah, so... But previous, in between us going to... leaving the con... We, you know, back when we went back to the room and passed out drunk, we ended up... woke up the next day, and before we hit up Dark Horse, we ended up going out to check it out Lake Michigan.
Yes, so one of the Great Lakes for those people that don't understand U.S. Geology?
It's the lake that looks like a penis. A flaccid, flaccid penis.
It does. It's so terrible. But no.
We were almost at the tip. Just the tip.
So over where I live, I'm by Lake Erie, and there's a lot of different things going on in the lake. So the lake is kind of muddy and dirty and not necessarily so clean. So it was interesting to go check out the other lake and kind of see how it looked.
Monsters don't treat water.
It was kind of funny, though, because I know we were hanging out, and it's just kind of funny to think, like, you could take, like, a ferry. The high-speed ferry took about 2.5 hours to drive across this lake. That's how big it is to get from Michigan all the way over to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good size, but didn't realize how big it was until, like, as we were driving there, I looked up the Wikipedia, because that's always a good source for every form of information, because it doesn't lie.
Yes, Wikipedia never lies to us.
But at its narrowest point, it's like 91 miles wide. It's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I figured it'd be, what, like 30, 40 miles or something like that, but almost 100 miles at its narrowest point?
Yeah.
That's cray cray, as the kids say.
Jesus. But no, it was cool to see. There was a lot of cool tourist points. We went to Tumble Beach and kind of hung out, and then we went to another part. There was a red lighthouse, and this was like the oldest structure that they had in the area. This was out in Holland, Michigan. So I mean, it was definitely a cool spot to check out. I mean, the houses over there were really nice, and then the overlook at Tunnel Beach was really cool to kind of look at as well.
Yeah, and we got a little brave and decided to venture out onto one of the breaks for the tower structure. So we wanted to go get a closer look, and I guess there was dry cement, dry cement, dry cement, wet cement, and we, for whatever reason, I've been to the ocean before. I don't know why. I guess I just underestimated a lake versus the ocean, and I lost. I ended up, a giant wave came through and like broke up on the side of the cement, and I basically was wearing jeans and the only shoes that I had for the trip, because I decided to bring a PlayStation instead of extra shoes.
Yeah.
Priorities. I was pretty much soaked from about my mid leg, like just a little bit between my knee and down, like drenched. It was pretty awesome. It was definitely worth the price of admission.
Exactly. Which was free.
It wasn't supposed to be free, I guess, but there was nobody there to take our money, so we just kind of broke
fuck the man. We went and parked in the park for free. We're rebels.
We didn't get a ticket or towed, so I guess we didn't break a law.
Exactly.
Nobody caught us and told us to reprimand us.
Yeah, we didn't break the law because nobody caught us.
We weren't reprimanded. You know, like Maynard James Keenan says in one of the Tool songs, you know, if consequences determine course of action, then we were cool with where we parked. It was cool. It was allowed.
Definitely. And then there was some windsurfers out there. Is that what they were doing? I can't remember the term.
I never learned the term. It was that they were on a surfboard and they had kind of a kite type
thing. It wasn't as long as a surfboard, though. I mean, and it was strapped to their legs. It was kind of like...
Almost like a snowboard.
Yeah, like a snowboard, but they were attached to like a parachute. And they would like go up in the air. They went up in the air. Some of those guys got up there pretty high. It was pretty windy. I mean, I definitely would have probably pissed myself that high, but I mean, it definitely looks fun if we could have kept it in like the 5-foot range a little bit, maybe for practice, but I mean,
give me the little kid parachute.
Yeah, can I have the kid parachute?
Wait, you mean a parachute for kids? No, so I just want that kid's parachute. Can I talk to the kid too?
Yeah. It can only lift 200 pounds, like 5 feet high. Perfect for me.
Exactly.
That's where I want to start with.
Do they have the training wheel parachute?
Exactly.
I just want to hang out in the kitty lake. That seems scary.
And it dangerous. It is scary, Danny. It is scary.
Life is scary as an adult. I want to hang out with the kids because it's more.
That's
fun.
Why we drink.
we drink to forget about real life.
I'll deal with that it clown over mortgages and student loans.
See, I don't know why people are scared of the it clown, dude. He has definitely not killed nearly as many people as Ronald McDonald has. That's the scariest clown in America, man.
Oh, man.
But I guess nobody's been raped to try to lure Ronald McDonald out of biting, exactly. As far as we know. you just have to order, like, a double cheeseburger and you're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot safer and less triggering ordering a double cheeseburger. Well, at least for some people. Some people get triggered no matter what you do, but there's definitely a lower odds of triggering somebody ordering a double cheeseburger than there is to do a group rape scene.
Oh, man. All right, everybody. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Keep in your minds that Danny did make a guest appearance on a show that seems to slip my mind.
Movies Made Me, hosted by Cheryl Jones. It's coming up pretty soon. She just this last week she released episode 68, and I'm episode 71. So I'll be coming up soon. So definitely you should listen to a couple of them so you know what a quality guest sounds like. And then by the time my episode comes out and she decides to shoot herself in the face because she has to listen to my episode again to edit it, and then the show never comes out again, you'll know why it ended, not because her show was bad, but because I was bad.
Man, you stole the joke from me before I could even say anything. We listened to episode 68 while we were traveling around. It is a pretty fun show. It's a definitely interesting idea, so for those of you that are looking for something a little bit more different to listen to, I would say jump on that show, but skip 71 because it's probably a piece of shit episode.
Yeah, the guest on there is an asshole, and we should hate him because he's a bad.
Fuck that guest.
Fuck that guy.
I hope he's never on another podcast again.
Exactly. whoever had the idea to put that asshole on a podcast should feel bad for himself.
All right, everybody, check that out. Give us a like on Facebook. Send us some comments and some love. We will see you same time next week.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the recap of my journeys through the Midwest.